Beautiful. Sounds like a choir with a full orchestra, doesn't it? Well, it's just plain old congregational a cappella singing without musical accompaniment. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Before the next song, we would like to tell you this program is brought to you by the poor, the meek, and the downtrodden of the Main Street Church of Christ. 4300 Main Street, Dallas, Texas, 75226, USA. The Churches of Christ are those local, autonomous, self-governing congregations you read about in Romans 16:16. We are neither Protestants nor Catholics nor Jews, but just plain old vanilla Bible-believing Christians. We're reaching the unchurched for Christ worldwide by radio at this same time and station every Sunday. So why don't you come into fellowship with us? You can simply assemble in the freedom of your own homes if you live in a country that's not free or there is no local Church of Christ near you. Then you and your family will become the Church of Christ, and we'll teach you how. You don't need the approval from anybody to worship God through Jesus Christ. Five things compose worship. You can sing, study the Bible, learn to preach, take the Lord's Supper, pray, and set aside some of God's blessings for the poor of your own local community anywhere in the world. Why don't you call us at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123. And visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, dash is a key, like a hyphenated word. Again, that is www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. For free downloads of great a cappella singing, hundreds of sermons, advanced Bible studies, and 1,000 links. Please tell a friend about our website in broadcast time. Now we offer you this a cappella singing, which is four-part harmony without musical instruments, so that you can hear what we believe singing in the Spirit in heaven is surely like. Why don't you visit the Church of Christ nearest your home and get some singing in your life? Or call us at 214-821-2123. And you can also email us by visiting our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
To welcome our worldwide radio audience to the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We are broadcasting four times to all the earth this morning, plus we are going out on three superstations to Africa, in which we cover all of Africa and we're going out on another superstation to China. Actually, two superstations, WWCR out of Nashville, broadcasts on 100,000 watts to China, India, and then we're going out this afternoon on WRMI Miami that will broadcast at 3 p.m. Beijing time and at 9 p.m. Beijing time, and also in India. So we're covering the entire Earth four times. Starting in April, we will pick up Radio Madagascar that will make five times, and we thank the Lord for providing for that. We want to ask that you continue doing just exactly what you're doing. Those of you that's made pledges for certain things, if you'll continue doing what you're doing, we can continue doing what we're doing. And we're not going to give up, that we're preaching the gospel 24 hours a day every Sunday. And so we ask out there in the radio land, if there's some rich millionaire with an oil well that doesn't have anything to do with his money except give it to Professor Smart, help get him a new Cadillac every year, well, why don't you think about broadcasting the gospel to the entire world? What's the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God? I've heard all kinds of preachers on TV saying, oh, one of them means one thing and another means another thing. And I'm going to prove to you right now that they both mean exactly the same thing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 11. In Matthew chapter 13, the first parable, there are seven parables in this chapter, and the first parable deals with the parable of the sower. And so in dealing with the parable of the sower, Jesus, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, the apostles, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Notice he uses the word kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not given. Now the same parable is found in Mark chapter 4, verse 11. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Where Matthew used kingdom of heaven, Mark uses kingdom of God. The same thing, the same term used interchangeably. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. In Luke chapter 8, verse 10, again the parable of the sower. And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Here Luke uses kingdom of God, not kingdom of heaven. Uses kingdom of God, and to others in parables, that in seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. So there's absolutely no difference whatsoever in these terms between Mark and Luke refer to it as the kingdom of God, and Matthew refers to it as the kingdom of heaven. What we're really talking about is the church of Christ. Jesus is telling the people what the church, the coming church, is going to be like. And so if you take in every parable that Jesus uses, where he uses kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven, and you substitute the word church, it makes sense. If you substitute heaven for it instead of the church, you say, well, he must be talking about heaven, eternity. What's the angels doing casting out evil out of heaven? See, it doesn't work. The parables don't work if you misinterpret the parables. And you wind up being just like those dumb Pharisees that misinterpret those parables. And so they're given so that people who can't be taught, they're so stupid they can't be taught, so that they won't understand. So there's absolutely no difference in it. The Hebrews were children of nature and children of the land. To fully appreciate the Old Testament nature literature, you have to understand their point of view. With them, secondary causes did not exist, only the primary cause. Various manifestations of nature were personifications of God. And the sun and the moon, the stars were his witnesses. The thunder and the storms were his voice. The winds were his messenger, and the earthquakes were the sound of his footstep. He clothed himself with garments of light and rode upon the clouds in his chariot. The whole earth was filled with his glory and his immediate presence. By the time Jesus came into the world, the Jews had lost most of their former interest and love in this nature literature. The interest of the scribes and the Pharisees and the doctors of the law had changed, begun to rest in the trivial traditions and superficial forms of temple worship and ritualistic worship and ritualistic purity. Today, in our modern city life, the display of the works of the hands of men, make it hem us in on every side, and so we can hardly see beyond the street on which we live. How many of you have been out in the country, really country folks, been out in the country at night, looked at the stars and all of that stuff? You see, that's where you appreciate the creation of God. And you look at nature and you see the creation of God, you can understand how wonderful God is, because all of nature demonstrates that there is a God. We're so completely occupied in the affairs of men, it's no wonder that so few people have God in their lives, when we know and see so little of what God has made. A psalm of David, Psalms chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Man, to see the stars at night. Verse 3. When I consider the heavens, which are the works of thy fingers, the sun, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost visit him? In the seven parables in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus calls us back to the natural examples of nature to show us how natural and spiritual the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven works. This is how the church works, just like this. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there. There's 1,000 written lessons. There's thousands of links. You can get a college education on that website. I looked at the printout this morning. We've got one more day today, and we've broken every record this month on our website. We've had over 125,000 hits, around 125,000 hits on our website this month. That's about 1.5 million a year. We had 85 countries. The Webalizer only counts 75, so it said the top 75 out of 85 countries. I've asked them to increase that to where we can get a count on all of it. So that means with these worldwide broadcasts, last month I think we had 62 countries. This month we've had 85 countries that have come to our website, people from all over the world. Turn with me now to Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house, probably out of Simon Peter's house, as he was in chapter 12, and sat on the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. It was like an amphitheater. It was easy to hear him. The water reflected his words like a coliseum, like a building. This building's got good acoustics. You remember just a few weeks ago, actually it was 2 months ago, when we went from 2 radio broadcasts to all the world of 4. My wife went to the hospital that morning at 6 in the morning, and I got here and rats had eaten the speaker wires and all of the microphone wires out of our speaker's microphone. And so I preached with no speaker and no microphone and anything. Y'all didn't have a bit of problem hearing me, did you? So it just shows you how that public speakers, the whole art of public speaking is you speak to the back row. You don't speak to the microphone. You speak to the last guy back there at the back row. The hearing heart. Jesus is interested in the hearing capacity of our heart. Jesus has received unprecedented popularity, and the great multitudes has come to him. Jesus speaks, and we have a responsibility to listen. Had these people used their God-given hearing? How serious were these people that had come, this great multitude that had come to hear him? Verse 3. And he spake many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. A parable is a comparison or a similitude where one thing is compared to another, especially whereby spiritual things are made easier to understand. A parable is literally something laid alongside another thing to compare it or to help explain it. In the New Testament, a parable is an illustration drawn from natural things to instruct us in spiritual things. Those who heard Jesus could see in their memory and their imaginations the common occurrence of sowers going out and casting seed in the ground. So you took your mule or your animal, you draw the animal and it put a yoke on, you might have two, and you had a plow, and you go down through there with the plow, and you bust the field all open, and then you come through there and you're sowing seeds down through that V that you made in the ground where you busted the ground open. Then you'd hold that ground back on top of those seeds, and that's the way you plant it. So Jesus uses common things that people see every day to teach people. The multitude attending Jesus' ministries were they for real. Few heard him would bring forth fruit to perfection. Few of y'all will bring forth fruit to perfection. I hope that y'all do. But the parable of the sower tells me that only about 25% of y'all are really for real. Now, there's another 25% that the coin's in the air, and we don't know how you're going to turn out, where on the last day you're going to be sinful or on the last day you're going to be repentant. Then there's another 25% of you that the wicked one's going to get. Then there's another 25% of you that's not going to amount to much, is what it really amounts to. The sower is Jesus, verse 37. I'm telling you what these things mean. The sower is Jesus. The seed is the word of God in verse 19. All these things are explained and will be explained and read to you over the next week. God is speaking through the Messiah, and we have a responsibility to listen. In Hebrews 1:1-2, God who at sundry times, that means many a time and many a part, God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath, past tense verb, he's already done it, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. What that means, God at sundry times in divers manners, it means here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept, it has been an unfolding revelation. Moses gave us some information. David gave us some information. Jeremiah gave us some information. Isaiah gave us some information. Daniel gave us some information. Amos gave us some information. All of these people has given us information. And so finally, in the last day, God finally spoke to us by his Son, in which he made a new covenant, a different covenant, a covenant different than law, a covenant of grace. He's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has made ordained heir of all things, the Hebrew writer goes on to say. God's speaking through the Messiah. Is anybody listening? There are two parts to any communication, what's said and what's heard. Hearing is judged on the basis of what's said being put into action by the hearer. The Pharisees are listening, but do they really hear? Jesus is concerned about the hearing capacity of our heart. The word heart in Hebrew equals the mind, the emotion, the intellect, and the memory. God is interested in the entire being of the person, our mind, our intellect, our thinking, our emotion. He wants us to emotionally be Christians, and how we think. He wants us to think like Christians. The word really must thunder through all aspects of our heart if we hope to be saved. Matthew 13, verse 4. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And I hope that you don't wind up in that category. The wayside is the hard, beaten path where no plow has broken the ground up. You would see, it'd be like this aisle right here, where everybody walked, every time they walked through the field, there would be a path through the field, or alongside the field, or alongside the trail, alongside the mountain, or alongside the cliff, or whatever. It was something that had been hard, beaten down, and walked on, and many hoof, foot, and wheel has gone through there for years and years and years, and made it hard. So if seeds fall on concrete, they're not going to take root there. And that's just exactly what that wayside means. Verse 5. And some fell among the stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. The stony places is a thin layer of earth with rock beneath. Plow's gone through there, it's turned it over a little, but there's little dirt on top of the rock, and so the seed will come and spring up, but it doesn't have any depth of earth. It can't put a root down, and it'll die and wither in the sun. And verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root and withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them out. Thorns are where the ground has been plowed up, but the weeds have not been cleared away. Have you cleared away the weeds in your life? The weeds are sin. The crowded-hearted disciple is a sinful disciple. You might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, but you like that pipe, man. You like that pipe, but pipe's good. That pipe's sweet, man. You like that pipe? And so you have to go steal to get the money to get that stuff for that pipe. And so I don't know whether you're going to go to hell for smoking that pipe, but I do know you're going to go to hell for stealing. Do you understand me? There's a consequence to these things that you do. And so you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you can't keep your zipper up. Well, there's consequences to that. You'll lose your salvation if you practice fornication. If you practice adultery, you'll lose your salvation. So there's consequences to these things. I'm encouraging you to get the weeds out of your life. Do the very, very best you can. Listen, it took me years to get weeds out of my life. I had all kinds of weeds in my life. I'm standing here before you telling you that I'm not cured yet. I'm still weeding my garden. Every time I see a false seed come up, a weed come up, I pull it up, I get it out of there. I want it out of my life. And I want you to do the same thing. Every time you see sin in your life, do your very, very best to try to get it out of your life. Verse 8. But others fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. This is where the earth is deep and the weeds have all been removed, or most of them, or it's being worked on being removed. And you can see that type of actions taking place right here. God loves a sinner repents. This church is the apple of God's eye. Where else on earth do they broadcast to the entire earth four times? Where else on earth do they broadcast to North Texas, to Abilene, to all of Oklahoma, to Arkansas? If God be willing, we're going to get on Radio Searcy, our Church of Christ College in Arkansas. Where else do they broadcast all in Nashville? What are they using their money for? I don't know what Professor Smart's using all his money for, but I have an idea that he's driving a lot nicer car than my 1995 Buick. And I have an idea that he takes a vacation, and I have only had two vacations in 22 years. I bet you Professor Smart has a whole bunch of money in the bank. And I have $600 in the bank. I bet you Professor Smart has a future planned out for himself so that he can die in the lap of luxury. And I'm telling you, I'm going to die right here at this podium preaching the gospel. I don't have a penny set aside for me. I trust God to kill me and not let me die in one of them places with slobber running off my chin and all that stuff. I'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home. Come to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. There's 1,000 sermons on there, and you can get all kinds of education on there. So we encourage you. Maybe you'd like to help us. We could certainly use the help. We'll spend every cent, every penny on preaching the gospel to the entire world and feeding the poor. Matthew 13, verse 9. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Every person who feels the need to be instructed about his soul's welfare, pay close attention to what Jesus is teaching, he's saying. God is speaking through the Messiah, and we have a responsibility to listen. Matthew 13:10. And the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not given. Concerning the things of the scheme of salvation which was being revealed, the prophetic concerns of the future state of the Church of Christ, is now being expressed to the apostles in parables. Now you're going to see what the Church of Christ is like, apostles. The apostles were the first preachers of the gospel to sinners, and they are also the writers of the New Testament, whereby people throughout history will be saved. But unto them, the other people were not given the scribes, the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the doctors of the law, twiddly-dee-dees, Professor Smarts, all of them people, because there's gross, earthly, sensual attitude in their lives. The apostles were selected to receive full instruction of the gospel. These were the mysteries to others, but plain truths to them. Verse 12, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that which he hath. It's a natural law that those who have wisdom to listen shall learn more, and those who refuse to hear the word will become less and less spiritual. It's just that simple. If you don't read your Bible, you're not going to be learning anything. If you don't conduct yourself as a Christian, you're not going to be learning anything. This is also an illustration of those who possess much and are rich in this world. You see, people like that receive all kinds of presents. There's not a person in Washington, D.C. that doesn't get all kinds of presents. From the president, from every past president, to all the congressmen, to all the senators, they all get presents. People give them presents. They tell them, oh, let's go down to Tahiti, or let's go down here to Hawaii, and let's go here, or let's go there. Let's have a nice vacation down at Miami. Let's go up here to the golf course. Let's go to Camp David and hang out at Camp David. All these people get all kinds of nice presents. What do you think they do to earn them presents? I mean, you're really not stupid. You know when people are bought and paid for. They get presents to curry their favor. It's a natural law. While the poor who have little may be easily preyed upon to lose what little they have. I'll never forget when they passed the sales tax here in the state of Texas. I was just a little child. And they said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to charge 1% sales tax. We're going to charge 1%, and it's not going to be any sales tax at all up to a quarter. Now, a quarter was a lot of money back then. And then between a quarter and a dollar, it'd be 1 penny. And between a dollar and $2, it'd be 2 pennies. And between $2 and $3, it'd be 3 pennies. And we're only going to do it till we fix Fair Park. Is Fair Park fixed? Fair Park ain't fixed, is it? And they get 8% sales tax now. Now, do you really think? I've seen Columbia Avenue here. I've seen them pour the whole street in concrete and in 6 weeks dig it up and put blacktop down and put some sort of pipe in it. And then 6 weeks later, they blacktop the whole street. And then 6, 8, 10 weeks later, they dig it up again. What's going on here? Something's going on. And I think it has to do with cousins and brother-in-laws. Matthew 13:13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Parables are to lead people to a proper knowledge of God. Jesus uses natural representations of spiritual truths, because seeing the miracles of Christ, the scribes and Pharisees saw not, they didn't believe it. They saw him heal a dead person, the person on the briar, the widow's son at Nain. They seen it with their own eyes. And you know what they had to do? They had to work it out in their mind. They had to say, well, either he touched a dead man and he'd be ceremonially unclean for a week, or the person wasn't dead. They had only swooned and he just woke them up. So we choose to believe that he had only swooned and he just woke them up, because you never hear them complaining that, hey, you just healed a dead man, you're unclean for a week. They never acknowledged the fact that he did the miracle. The lepers that he healed, they never acknowledged the fact that they were really lepers. These people saw and they still didn't believe. They heard and they still didn't believe. Because hearing the doctrine of Christ, they heard not as to profit themselves unto salvation. Neither do they understand and have a heart touched by it. Verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. The Greek properly translated in this verse means hearing again, or fulfilled again. It was fulfilled in the time of Isaiah. When Isaiah said that to the Jews, it was fulfilled then. But it was fulfilled again in the time of Christ. And if we don't take care, it'll be fulfilled again in our lives. It was fulfilled in the time of Isaiah, fulfilled the time of Christ. And again, these awful words is liable to be fulfilled in our life if we don't take heed to the warning. Verse 15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. They become fat, inattentive, stupid, insensitive. They are half asleep while the Son of God is preaching to them. Their eyes they have totally closed to God. It is deplorable to be sick unto death and to refuse to be cured. Isaiah's exact quote in Isaiah 6 verse 9, and he said, go tell his people, hear ye indeed, but understand ye not, and see ye indeed, and perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, be converted, and be healed. God really wants to heal people. He wants to forgive people. He's in the forgiving business. Isaiah 6:11. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord has removed men far away, and there shall be great forsaking in the midst of the land. And that took place during the Babylonian captivity. It took place during the Rome, when Rome destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD. So it really took place three times. It took place during the Assyrian captivity in 702 to 722 BC. It took place in 586 BC in the Babylonian captivity. It took place in 70 AD during the Roman captivity. And I'm telling you, it's going to take place right now today unless this country repents. Unless every person in this place repents, unless we turn to God again, God has raised up evil people to punish us because of our wickedness in this land. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. Through the apostles, Jesus opens the truth of the Old Testament and explains the mysteries dimly seen by the ancient prophets. The apostles received an increase of knowledge and wisdom with every miracle that Jesus performed, every sermon that he preached, and every lesson he taught, they received an increase in wisdom and knowledge. Now, knowledge is to know something. Wisdom is to practice what you know. I can know thou shalt not commit adultery. I can know that in my mind. I know that it's wrong to do that. And it's wisdom to practice staying away from wild women, isn't it? Can a man take fire to his bosom and not be burned? Do I think that I can play with fire and get away with it? It's wisdom to know that you can't. It's wisdom, knowledge to know thou shalt not steal. It's wisdom not to do it. So learn to practice these things. Verse 17. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. The Hebrew prophets looked to the future of the coming of the Messiah, but the apostles had received a fuller knowledge, greater gifts, more excellent promises than the Jews had received. Jesus said, John 8:56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now Abraham lived way back here, and he rejoiced to see Jesus that day. That means Abraham must be alive somewhere. Abraham had been dead for 2,000 years, but he must be alive somewhere. And Jesus, of course, we studied it a few weeks ago, explains that as Abraham's bosom or paradise. Moses, looking to that future day, made the right choice. In Hebrews 11, verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the approach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Peter could say of the Old Testament prophets in a Christian dispensation in 1 Peter 1:10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what and by what manner of time the Spirit of Christ that was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ. When Isaiah wrote Isaiah 53, he didn't know what he was writing. And he prayed, he said, oh Lord, show me what this means. Show me what this stuff is all about. Show me what the Spirit is leading me to write. And so he really wanted to know. Because Isaiah wrote about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, 9, and 10. When it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, the resurrection of Christ that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, the prophets, it was revealed that not unto themselves would they see those days, in other words, but unto us, the first century Christians, they did minister these things. They did write the Old Testament down as proof that God prophesied the future, what would come to take place, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. These things are better than what angels get to look into. Matthew 13, 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the words of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away the thing that was the seed that was sown in his heart. This is he that received the seed by the wayside. The person who hears and does not let the word into his heart. Not all three evangelists here use the same word to describe the enemy. Here in Matthew, in verse 19, it's described as the wicked one. In Mark's account, Mark 4:15, and these are they that by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard it, Satan. Aha! We know who he is. We've had our dealings with him. His name's Slewfoot, isn't it? We know exactly who he is. Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in his heart. And then Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil. Aha! Calls him the wicked one. He calls him Satan. And he calls him the devil. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. So Matthew calls him the wicked one, Mark calls him Satan, and Luke calls him the devil. It's much like this verse in Revelation 12, verse 9. And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, now has come the salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. He can no longer go and accuse us before God in heaven. He's cast down here to the earth now. Is cast down, which is accuses them before God day and night. And they overcame him. How are we going to overcome the devil? And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Christ, and by the word of their testimony. Don't be afraid to tell people about Jesus. Be a real Christian. And they love not their lives unto death. That's a hard thing to do. When you see those people lined up out on the beach and ISIS about to cut their throat, cut their head off, that's when you really know. That's when you really know whether you're for real or not. You know, I hope that you'd have courage to die for the Lord. I hope I would. There's nothing wrong with going out fighting now. Nothing wrong with that at all. And so you don't have to just let them cut your head off. You know, we could handle it a different way. We could let the army deal with it. You know, that's what governments are for, is to protect the people, or the police. We have police here. They help protect people. Hard-hearted here are the intellectual disciples. They have a distorted thinking about God, ritualism, customs, and practice. They just can't put it all together, and they can't understand. They're legalistic people, marble-hearted disciples that have their own ideas about God. They're baptized with a baptism of holy fervor instead of remission of sins. They refuse to follow the light that they've been given. 1 John 3:11, it says, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who is of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's were righteous." That's why most people want to kill righteous people. Wicked people want to kill righteous people, or act up, or act out, or throw a fit, or pitch a fit, because they see righteous people around, and the spirit that is in them is a wicked spirit, and they want to act out around them. And we're not going to allow that. We'll never allow that here. We're tougher than that. So we want you to all know you're safe here. Big Augie Moose and Grabber is looking for anybody that acts up at any time around here. And then Truck backs them up, and Eric is used to be a wrestler. I'd hate for Eric to sit on me until the police get here. You know, I think all the grease had just run out of me by the time the police got here, if Eric sat on me. So we have a plan. Don't worry about it. The one who lays the word of God into his heart and obeys it does all that he needs to do to be saved. But the one who doesn't obey it is like the Hebrew children that was in the desert for 40 years. Hebrews 4, beginning in verse 1, "Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest," God had told them, "you can go into the promised land, any of you should seem to come short of it." Notice, you can come short of salvation, come short of it, "for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them." The Jews heard it before and they didn't make profit of it. "But the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." So y'all go on and read that. Turn down to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back into perdition." I want you to notice that if you backslide, where are you going to? Perdition. Perdition is punishment, hell, Gehenna, Sheol. All of them bad places are all interchangeable words. I don't want anything to do with perdition. Do any of y'all need any more spanking than what you've had? I don't need no more spanking. "But to them that believe, to the saving of the soul." This kind of person never allowed Jesus to deal with their emotions or their life's daily practices. Have they really, really come to Jesus? Because Jesus said in John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall cometh to me, and to him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Luke 6:46, Jesus asked a very pertinent question. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" That's a good question, isn't it? Why do you call him Lord and don't obey? "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man who built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently on that house. It could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without a foundation, built his house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat. And of course, we all know that there was great destruction of that house, great mourning. The shallow-hearted hearer, the emotional disciple, verse 20. But he that receiveth the seed into the stony places is the same that heareth the word, and anon receiveth with joy. Boy, they come running down, oh, I'm so grateful to be saved. I'm so grateful to be saved. And then with the $3, they go get a big tall boy. They get a tall boy. And you ask yourself, man, come on. What's going on here? He that receiveth the seed in the stony places is the same that he that receiveth the word of none with joy receiveth it, yet he had no root in himself and endureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by is offended. Somebody at their job makes fun of them and says, oh, you're a Christian, huh? Oh, well, not really. I go to church every once in a while, just see what they're doing down there. And they give away free clothes. I go down there and get that. So. They got a heart of bedrock covered over with a thin layer of soil. A joyful beginning, but they're like a tire with a slow leak. The seed's planted, the root soon reaches rock. There's no nourishment. Peter tells us where to get the nourishment. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire ye the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 1:23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he was. Forget what you look like. Well, a Christian looks like this, and of course a devil looks like this. Yeah. And so what are you going to do? Are you going to have on your Christian costume or your Halloween costume? You know, that's really the question. We must love God with our minds as well as our lives and our feelings. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to come to our website, www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Verse 22, and he also received the seed among the thorns, as he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it become unfruitful. This is the crowded-hearted hearer, the carnal, sinful disciple. While the rains last, both the thorns and the good seeds grow together. But when the rain ceases, the bad seed, the weed, prevails and the good is destroyed. God is demanding absolute obedience and loyalty in first place in everything in our lives. The thorns are sin. The disciples have no lives. The disciple of Christ really shouldn't live any type of sinful life. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to be just like Christ at the resurrection, for we will see him as he is. And every man that has his hope in him purifies himself. God wants to reign supreme in your life. In Exodus 20:3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. In 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. In 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, of which some coveteth after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it and bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Luke 8:15 amplifies that verse. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keepeth it and bringeth forth fruit with patience. They understand and they bring forth fruit. There are two things that are referred to as fruit in the Bible, and we'll talk about that next week. The first is souls. God wants you to bring forth souls. This church is a soul-winning church. We're called the soul church on the street. People on the street call us a soul church. You know why they call us that? You know why they call us that? Because they know that we don't care about nothing but people's souls here. We don't care about anything else. And the second thing that is fruit is Christian character. God wants you to become Christ-like. What was Christ like? He was just like God. God wants you to become like Christ, like Him. He wants you to become a Christian. The way you do that is that you believe the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You put your faith and your trust and your confidence in God to save you. You repent of your sins. You're sorry for your sins. You confess Christ as Lord before men. Just march right down to the front. Meet me right down here down at the front. And you have your sins washed away. You're baptized into Christ. If you're here this morning, you're ready to become a Christian, now's the time. You can just march right down here, right down to the front. Meet me down to the front. If you have sin in your life, you need to help the church, the prayers of the church. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Lost sheep are welcome here, and I'm available to you for counseling. Why don't you give me a call and let's talk about your soul? You might be thinking I've gone too far and I'm too vile for God to save me. The exact opposite is true. You would honor God by believing that Jesus is who He says He is, the mighty God, powerful and strong to save. He's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God by Him. Let me assure you that if God can save me and change me, the greatest of sinners, He can do wonders with you. Call me and let's talk about your soul and the great and sure promises of everlasting life. Call me for personal counseling, for songbooks or tapes at 214-821-2123. That number again is 214-821-2123.
For our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.
Thank you. Now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it." Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this bread that represents the body of Christ. We pray that as we do this, it will be in a manner that is suitable to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to take this cup that represents the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now to give you thanks for all the many blessings and to return a portion of that back to you. We pray this money can be used wisely as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Before our next song, we would like to ask you to visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com.